What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. I'm telling you, I am a YouTube guy's worst nightmare. So, Daryl, my buddy, most of you guys have met him because of the podcast, but he's my YouTube guy, and he keeps calling me about the audio and the video and the set and all the things to do with the podcast. I'm telling you, I'm just not a polished dude. I'm an idea guy. I have a lot of ideas. And I feel like if I don't act on those ideas, I immediately forget to do them. Even if I make a list, I'll lose the list. ADHD problems, I guess. So anyways, I'm sitting in my driveway on this little rocking chair my mom left over here when she moved out. And I have this idea. I found a book that was written by my granddad, Dr. Mike Darnell. And granddad was a marriage and family counselor. He died back in 2022, and I've mentioned him a couple of times on the podcast, and I'm telling you right now, I would give anything to sit down with that guy for an hour and chit-chat again. But he wrote this book, and I'm going to read the book to you guys. And I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but he was one of the most wise human beings I ever met. He was really just a gift to me my entire life. And the wisdom he poured into me was just incredible. And I honestly wish I could go back and soak it in more than I did. I feel like I could have listened better. I feel like I could have paid closer attention. But I found this book he gave me, and he wrote this book, and I never read it because that's how dumb I was. But I never read the book, and I found it in my stuff. I was cleaning out my old desk, and I found this book. And I just started kind of skimming through it. And it's funny, I started a podcast about suffering. And I'm going to read you the introduction. So, this book was written originally in 1992 for those left behind and suffering after Desert Storm War in Iraq. The war ended as I finished the first chapter. At the encouragement of Carolyn Travis, I decided to continue writing the book, addressing pain, suffering, and difficulties that most of us, including Sue and I, go through. Stand by. Once again, YouTube guy's worst nightmare. I decided to continue writing the book, addressing pain, suffering, and difficulties that most of us, including Sue and I, go through in the seasons of life. In 2014, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I recovered and he was diagnosed with acute leukemia. The ongoing treatments at UAB in Birmingham have taken a toll on me physically. Walking has become difficult as my strength and stamina have notably diminished. I've been forced into retirement from my work as a Christian counselor, and my love for tending my rose garden is but a sweet memory. Another reminder of just how unforgiving cancer can be. Out of this suffering comes a deeper love and intimacy with God as my Father, and an immeasurable love for Sue, family, and church family. So how strange is it that this guy spent the majority of my life pouring wisdom into me? And the name of the book is Forever Loved. Chili, stop. I'm going to give you away, man. Shut up. The name of the book is Forever Loved. And what you name a book, Granddad, is wildly important, because I had no clue that this book was about pain and suffering. And we're going to find out what's going on in here. But once again, I've never read it. And I'm just disgusted with myself that I've never read the book. So anyway, with that being said, enjoy the works of Dr. Mike Darnell as we go along through the book. It's real short. Knowing him, he probably made the chapters real short, but we're going to do a chapter and episode. And you know what, guys? The posting schedule in this thing, I was trying to do 2 a week. I was trying to do one solo episode, one guest episode a week, yada, yada, yada. I'm just crazy, man. Like, I just, I just want the stuff coming out. So as the ideas come to me, I'm going to post them. There's no schedule. If you're going to follow the podcast, if you're going to follow Dalton Darnell's journey through life, it's a crazy one. And so just freaking buckle up, old buddy. It's just a crazy one. I don't know what to tell you. I need a guy, you know. It's also good for smacking dogs, chewing on cords. I swear, man. This dog's going to be the end of me. God gave me this dog to work on my serenity. So, here we go. Without further ado, let's jump right into Forever Loved by Dr. Mike Darnell, Chapter 1, How God Sees Me. God's love is unconditional. One Sunday morning about 4 o'clock, I got a call from the local all-night service station directly behind my house. My 12-year-old daughter's Shih Tzu puppy had been hit by a car. By the time I dressed and arrived, Lady was dead. I placed her in a box and took her to the countryside and buried her. I could not stand the thought of April, my daughter, seeing her faithful sleep mate that way. I dreaded telling her the bad news. After church, her mother and I gathered the courage to tell her of the tragedy. It was her first loss of something she really loved. "It's not true, Dad. Where's Lady?" she cried. "It is true. It is true, babe. Lady is gone." I told her the whole story. I held her most of that day and into the night, her eyes swollen from continued crying. In a few days, April went through typical grief stages such as shock, denial, questions which I couldn't begin to answer, and if I could have, it would not have mattered. Questions like, "Why Lady? She never hurt anyone." "I hurt because my baby hurts." For several days, April would describe in vivid detail every aspect about Lady. The way she looked, places she slept, funny things she did after her bath, the way her back end wiggled. Her descriptions and memories were endless. So were her emotions. I was deeply moved by April's love and total acceptance of Lady. From my perspective, Lady was not a perfect dog by a long shot. She had fleas occasionally, wet on our new carpet, and dug out of the backyard. Yet to April, Lady was perfect. It didn't matter. God used this earthly incident. I remembered having the distinct thought and feeling of, that's probably the way God loves me. That's awesome and humbling at the same time. Think of it. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Someone once said, you can't do anything good enough that will make God love you more. And you can't do anything bad enough that God will love you less. God totally accepts me. Why? How can he? I'm so imperfect. The fact that he does. The fact is that he does. I'm discovering that to really love God is to let God love me. I am also discovering the wonderful experience to love myself the way God loves me. Think of it. To love God is to let God love you. To let God love you is to be secure, to be healed, to have the freedom to fail and the freedom to be yourself. To know God is to be open to Him. To be completely open is to discover His exciting purpose for life. Out of this love relationship and union with God flows a whole new quality and capacity for relationships. To love people is to let them love you. To let them love you is to let them know you. To let them know you is to be open about your hurts and hopes. To be open is to be vulnerable. Healing and wholeness comes to God's saints when we allow Him to love us. I should have read this book 15 years ago. God's love for you demonstrated. Even though I am a novice in understanding the love of the Father, I know how it feels. I know its effects and how it makes me want to respond. Love is the most used, most powerful, most misunderstood, most sought after, most healing, and most forgiving word there is. Dr. Ed Wheat, in his book Love Life, gives 5 words the Greeks used to describe love. They all describe a different aspect of love, while the English language has just one. We love everything. Apple pie, Chevrolet, ice cream, church, God, etc. The Greeks used one, epitema, a strong physical desire, eros, romantic love, storge, love that expresses loyalty, philo, a loving friendship, agape, a giving love. The eternal love of God the Father has been expressed to you in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. If a young man wants to communicate his feelings towards his bride-to-be, he sends a dozen red roses. God sent someone to demonstrate and prove your worth and value. Real agape. Love is not measured in verbiage or intent, but in sacrifice. Romans 5, 6, 8, 10 states that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, helpless, and even his enemy, Christ died for us. The love of God is expressed in the person of Christ. In John 1, 18, Jesus demonstrates and interprets the Father. He brings the Father out into the open where he can be seen. In other words, Jesus makes the invisible God visible and makes a direct, clear statement of our value and worth. Our son Jeremy, when he was 15 years old, was scattering rock in the driveway at my office while I was busy painting drywall on the inside. I came to the door, and there he was, Walkman on his ears, in his own world, spreading rocks for future parking. I stood for several minutes reflecting and gazing at his sleek, wiry, muscular, sweating body. He's so much like me, I mused, so much potential. My eyes moistened with tears as I thought, God, I love that kid so much. I couldn't contain my thoughts, so I whistled shrilly and called his name. Jeremy? Sir? Do you know how much a hog loves slop? That's how much I love you. I had to use a graphic illustration to get this 15-year-old's attention. Do you think God sometimes looks at you the same way? Moved with perfect fatherly love for you, his own creation, knowing you are not perfect. He can and does. The best way to find the true value of an object is by determining what someone is willing to pay for it. Your purchase price was Christ. Ephesians 1:18 in the Living Bible says, I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him. It is difficult at times to feel vulnerable when we know our performance has not been up to standard. In fact, we feel at times worthless, right? One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Luke 15. A lot of preachers like to use this chapter to exploit the sins and shortcomings of the prodigal son. Jesus, in this chapter, tells three stories, all emphasizing the same point. In the first story, a shepherd loses one sheep out of 100. He searches until the sheep is found and then throws a party to celebrate. In the second story, a lady loses one coin out of 10. She searches until she finds the coin and then invites her friends to come and celebrate with her. The third story is about the prodigal son, who took his inheritance and wasted it in a far country. What a story. What a father. He watches daily until the son returns, because his son who was lost has come home. The father is overjoyed and prepares a feast. These three stories are not about the coin, sheep, and son, but they are about the eternal love of God, the Father, and the value he places on the one that's you. If you try to reason from man to God based on your performance or based on the opinion of others, you will come up with the short end of the stick. You must reason from God to man based on the finished work of Christ on the cross, for there God in Christ proved and demonstrated your value and worth to himself. God desperately wants you to experience and rest in his acceptance of you. Accepting God's acceptance is the foundation of your self-acceptance. Let me read that again. Accepting God's acceptance is the foundation of your self-acceptance. Like, I'm just sitting here reading this, and I'm, like, pissed that I didn't pay closer attention. Like, if your grandparents are still around, and if you're blessed to have a wise one, like, open your freaking ears and shut your mouth. And if I'm being quite honest, like, I feel like I'm a lot like my granddad. He liked to talk. He liked to tell stories. I like to talk. I like to tell stories. And everybody would joke about how I got that from him. And dang it, man, I wish I'd have just shut up and listened to his stories. Pain of not being sure. Much of the pain that permeates life comes from not being sure of the precious fact that we have been accepted in the beloved. All of mankind was created with needs of acceptance and sacrifice. To be accepted is to be part of, to belong, to be secure, needed, wanted, and loved. To be significant is to be important, special, valuable, to have worth. The needs for significance and acceptance cause us to marry who we marry, live where we live, drive what we drive, wear what we wear, and go to church where we go to church. Most people search a lifetime looking for the person, place, or thing that will somehow validate their worth as a human being. We look for unfailing love that will accept us and our faults. In the early years of our counseling ministry, when we were in the process of remodeling my grandmother's old home into offices, my brother gave me an old Ford Courier pickup truck. Let me describe this truck. It was burnt orange with a black stripe running down the hood, a bent pipe rack on the back, a tailgate that wouldn't shut, taillights that didn't work, and a passenger door that wouldn't open. Nevertheless, what it lacked in beauty, it made up for in usefulness. I was thankful to have it. Our teenagers, however, did not share my sentiment. One day when John, our eldest son, was in junior high school, I had to pick him up after school. Picture this with me. There I am in my old pickup truck parked between a BMW and a new Buick waiting for school to let out. The bell rings and 1,500 junior high students scatter in every direction. I see John walking with several friends and I beep the horn. Suddenly he spots the pickup and in embarrassed disbelief, he slows down for his friends to walk ahead. When John finally reaches the pickup, he makes a dash to get in quickly and unnoticed, but the passenger side door is jammed. Angrily, he walks around the truck. I get out and he slides across the seat. Looking straight at me, this firstborn says, "Dad, if you ever come to pick me up in this piece of junk again, I'll walk home." Now, why did this teenager feel so embarrassed and humiliated? Because his acceptance and significance was tied to what his dad drove. We adults are not much different. Those needs must be met, and when they aren't, we begin an endless search for what or whom can give us meaning in this human existence. And that search can be extremely long and painful. We all have a built-in need to be sure of God's love and acceptance. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's peace towards you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made peace with God on your behalf." We must remember that God's peace is found totally on the work of the cross, totally apart from anything whatsoever in or from us. I have often thought and felt that due to my sin and failings as a Christian, I would continually have to earn or daily renew my acceptance with God. The fact is that God's love for me has never altered. He's never put me on probation or thought about changing his mind. I've often thought that if God really knew me, if he had known I was going to sin as often as I do, he certainly would not have chosen me to go into ministry. It dawned on me that God knew me. I was the one who didn't know me. He knew me and still chose me. Jesus knew Peter, but Peter did not know Peter. Jesus confirmed that Peter would become a rock before he had ever resembled a rock. Our standing is in Him, and in Him we are complete. The fact is, God loves you and has already forgiven you of every sin you'll ever commit, past, present, and future. What love! Read slowly and personalize the words of this old hymn that follows. The love of God. The love of God is greater far. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty par, bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole thou stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. The effects of God's love. Divine love for you carries with it acceptance and forgiveness. If God accepts you, who are you not to accept yourself? There is a law that states, you become like those who accept you. When we discover just how much God loves and accepts us, it not only gives us the power to accept ourselves, but also the power to change. There are areas of my own life that I could not change, no matter how much I prayed, fasted, or disciplined myself. I simply could not sanctify myself. Often we believe that we are saved by grace alone, but then try to sanctify ourselves. When I discovered God's true intentions towards me, I was amazed, humbled, and broken. I could not understand how or why He could feel the way concerning me. Not only will the revelation of God's love give you the power to change, but it will also give you the freedom to fail. Assured of God's unconditional love and acceptance, we can fail and not be tortured by endless condemnation and false guilt. You are no longer motivated by fear or guilt, but by God's unconditional love. The understanding and walking in love and acceptance will not make you sinless, but it will make you sin less. It is not wrong for you to love yourself. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Accepting oneself is not just a biblical suggestion. It is commanded. Wherefore, accept one another just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. The world waits for Christians to love and accept themselves the way God the Father does. Knowing God's acceptance, I can accept Mike Darnell. Accepting Mike Darnell, I can now accept my fellow man. Early one morning, several years ago, as Sue and I were sitting in the den reading, I turned to her and asked, "Sue, how does it feel to impress God?" There was no answer, only a look that said, "What kind of question is that this early in the morning? Don't you have anything to read?" In a few moments, I asked again. Gosh, dude. He wrote in his own voice, I'll tell you that. Sounds just like him. "Sue, how does it feel to impress God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords?" Another blank stare, but no answer. "Sue, you've been His daughter for 30 years, saved when you were 6 years old. How does it feel to impress Him?" She replied, Maybe I have pleased God once in a while, but impress him? It was like a heat-seeking missile, for I was discovering truth about myself while asking the seemingly dumb question. Does Jeremy, our son, always obey you? Does he frustrate you at times? Does he make you feel angry? Yes, to all the above, she said, wondering how and where this interrogation was headed. Sue, does Jeremy impress you? I asked. Yes, he does, she slowly replied. Why does he impress you? Because he is my son. I then began to understand. Our son is not impressive because of his performance or his obedience, but just because he is our son. Guess what? You are impressive to God right now, and so am I. Not because we have kept all the rules, but because we are God's sons and daughters. You can never be more acceptable to God than the moment you were born from above, taken out of Adam's race and placed into the kingdom of his own dear son. Legalism is when you try to do what the Bible says in order to get God to love and accept you. Child of God, you are acceptable to God. You are loved right now because of Christ's death on Calvary. And that's the end of chapter one of Forever Loved by Dr. Mike Darnell. I really wish I'd have read that a long time ago, man. But wisdom is the wise application of failure. And this guy, shaped my life in so many ways. And as I sit here and read his words, you try to believe them. You try to believe what you're reading. And you try to really soak in the fact that God is asking us to accept ourselves, to understand his acceptance for us. But we're going to continue reading this book. Chapter 2 is How God Created Me. And he's a cool guy to be like. And I'm so very thankful for the time that I spent with him. And I know that he would be probably my number one supporter of what we're trying to do with this podcast. He would love this. He would just be so excited about what we got going on with this thing. And that makes me excited. Even though this thing is hard and I have begged God to let me stop, we're not going to stop. The enemy be damned. Anyways, guys, as always, if you need me, Dalton@310edu.com. We got a bunch of clinics coming up if you guys rope or ride or whatever. So we got that going our way, and we'll be posting those. And we got a new YouTube series coming out. I'm going to try to do a clinic in every single state in America. So if you're into clinics and you want to host one, hit me up. Let me know. We can come up and do some roping. But thank y'all so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next video. Never weaken.